3172.
SMS Karima on 31702.
It's coming up for 8 minutes after 9 o'clock. We kick off this hour with the fact that former President Jacob Zuma has until tomorrow to submit an application for a permanent stay of prosecution. Zuma's lawyers were given until the 16th of November to submit the application to bring to a halt his corruption trial that has faced numerous postponements. Zuma's last appeared in the Pietermaritzburg High Court on the 27th of July, where his newly legal team told the KwaZulu-Natal Deputy Judge President they needed time to familiarize themselves with the case. The former president is facing charges of fraud, corruption, racketeering, money laundering related to the controversial multi-billion rand arms deal which was concluded in the late 1990s. Well, for more on this, I'm joined on the line by senior reporter from Eyewitness News, Ziyanda Ngobo. Ziyanda, good evening. Welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me, Karima.
Now, I'm not sure if you managed to get a hold of Mr. Daniel Mancha, Mr. Zuma's new lawyers. What is the strategy likely to be tomorrow in terms of this permanent stay of execution? What is going to be the case that Mr. Zuma is going to be making? Is he going to be referring to interference, to the McCarthy tapes? What is going to be the gist of the argument that the case must be chucked out?
Well, Karima, I didn't get a hold of Daniel Mansa, but I can tell you, judging from what senior counsel Mike Hellens had to say in court the last time, the main premise of this application will be threefold in many aspects. That there's a political conspiracy against the former president, and you'll recall the long battle with the spy tapes.
Yes.
You know, Judge Nicholson had actually agreed that there was a political conspiracy in the decision to prosecute Zuma, and then that judgment was set aside. And so eventually, as we do know that, as we know that the spy tapes were intercepted telephone recordings between Scorpion's head Leonard McCarthy, NPA head Bulelani Ngoka, discussing when to charge Zuma. And this was against the backdrop, or the discussions rather, between the two were over whether they should charge him before or after the ANC's 2007 Polokwane elective conference, where Zuma would be contesting then President Thabo Mbeki. So this is one of the pillars upon which the application will be looking at. But I've spoken to constitutional expert Pierre DeFosse, and he was saying that there has been a recent Supreme Court of Appeal judgment that might make this particular pillar of the argument strong, because he was saying that even if you bring a prosecution for improper purpose, so in other words, if there has been political meddling, it doesn't necessarily make the prosecution wrongful. As long as there's the ultimate purpose is to convict someone and that there's evidence to do so. And so this is what the new legal team might have to answer to when oral arguments are made in court. Another pillar, Karima, is the fact that there were pre-trial irregularities and executive interference in the case. And this is linked to, you know, the contested Brownsmore report that was, of course, authored by the then Scorpions. And the argument here is likely to be that there are serious constitutional implications, as his rights to privacy were infringed. And so that pillar, DeFosse says, even when it comes to procedural irregularities, the questions that Zuma's new legal team will have to answer is whether those irregularities are of such a nature that any judge will not be able to weigh the evidence fairly. So the team will have to bring strong arguments and evidence to prove that whatever as presented before the courts during trial will not be able to allow the former president to have a fair trial. I think the strongest argument, according to DeFosse, would be the fact that this matter has taken so long to reach the court. I mean, it's been 9 years, nearly a decade in the making. And the argument here would be that, you know, the case has taken so long to reach the court that it would be nearly impossible for the former president to receive a fair trial. And so in that case, Pierre Defosse was saying that even still, the former president won't get off lightly because the courts would also have to look at both the conduct of the accused and the prosecution. And if the former president has been found to have been part of the delaying process, then he might not even be able to get this application.
This is exactly what I wanted to segue into. We've got courts that have effectively told President Zuma's legal team that they're filibustering and that they've deliberately litigated in order to delay, not to clarify matters, so much so that he faces a personal cost order. And of course, we know that since Mr. Zuma came to power, the idea was to reconstruct the value chain in the justice system to such an extent that it will create this lacuna and delay in getting him to court. The fact that the DA won the right that a court is the only place to decide Mr. Zuma's guilt or innocence is also not insignificant, Zianda. So, given the fact that it's going to be quite a difficult legal argument, what is the kind of political atmosphere that is dominating KwaZulu-Natal? Because the president, the former president, still has some support. I understand he's going on campaigning, supposedly for the African National Congress. Just give us a sense of the atmosphere ahead of this stay of application, and also just what kind of support he will be trying to muster over this weekend.
Well, interestingly, Karima, I mean, first of all, the former president is not due to appear in court tomorrow. It's just the application. Mm. And most of the time, we only hear from his supporters or sympathizers the week that he's due to appear in court. So at the moment, it's been quiet. There's not much happening. Mm. I think a lot of the energies that have been and resources, I'm talking in particular with the ANC in KwaZulu-Natal, have been geared towards the election and campaign trail. And as you rightly mentioned, the former president will actually tomorrow be joining the KZN chairperson of the ANC, Sihle Zikalala, on a blitz walk in Pinetown. And then he'll also be part of a program in Kwamashu with the elderly. And so it seems that, of course, the KwaZulu-Natal ANC is still including the former president in their programs, and that the president still enjoys a level of respect, and he's been given his place within the African National Congress here in KwaZulu-Natal. In terms of those who have been fighting for the former president or on behalf of the former president under the banner of radical economic transformation, at this stage it seems as though that campaign has died down a bit. It's unclear whether this is because of resources or whether because they're still waiting to muster up and lobby people and mobilize ahead of that court appearance on the 30th of November. But of course, we know that depending on whether the former president's lawyers submit those papers tomorrow, that will is likely to affect the appearance on the 30th, because oral arguments would have to be made for and against that permanent stay of prosecution application. But on the political front, Karima, at this stage, it's very difficult to read what the sense is at this stage, because the main focus at this stage is on the 2019 elections.
Absolutely, but it is, of course, going to be something that we will watch with you, Zianda, the reception that he gets, whether he is in fact an attraction or whether he repels support in that province. That is Zianda Ngobo. She is our senior reporter at EWN, breaking some of the issues down surrounding the former president.